This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Second hour here. The phones are open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can weigh in on the discussion about cash. Apparently there's a group of activists out there that are advocating that people do not abandon cash. Stick with it. Keep paying for things in cash. And don't make the shift over to all debit or credit or some sort of online payment system. We can continue that discussion here tonight. It's Ian.
And Jay Noon.
But Gigi called in with an interesting Supreme Court decision. Gigi on the line in South Carolina, and you were just kind of recapping this decision that was a 9-0, which is pretty rare, especially on a politically, you know, divided court. 9-0,
for sure.
Unanimous decision. Let me just recap this. You correct me if I got anything wrong, Gigi. An old lady who's now 94 years old.
No, 95, sir.
Okay, well, that's what it says here in the Reuters report. But anyway,
this elderly
woman was kicked out of her home because she...
was evicted.
Yep.
Legally, the word is evicted.
Yep, she was not paying the property tax, maybe because she couldn't afford it, because, you know, it's expensive. And,
that's right.
And the city, the county that houses Minneapolis, decided they were going to what they call tax sale the house. And, Jay, you can probably relate to this story.
Oh, yeah, I got a personal experience.
Bottom line, they threw her out of her home.
Yes, and then they sold it to somebody else. They took in, like, $60,000 or something like that. And apparently she had, quote-unquote, owed $50,000 in...
She owed $60,000. The SCOTUS report states, based upon Chief Justice Roberts writing the opinion for the court, $60,000 was owed. However, she was legally entitled to a minimum of $25,000 because it could have... depicted her in good faith attempting to make payments towards back property taxes as opposed to throwing her out.
Yeah, this old lady just couldn't pick enough cotton for master.
Mm-hmm.
And,
ain't that the truth?
And, you know, she wasn't able to produce enough energy, so they took probably the last thing that she really had, right?
Yeah,
yes,
probably.
Sir.
The numbers here are a little different in this story, Gigi. It says that it was $40,000 is what they got for the auction of the house, and then they claimed that the older lady owed $15,000, so that remained. They gave $25,000 after the quote-unquote tax debt was paid back, because that's the alleged reason they steal people's property is, oh, well, you owe us this arbitrary amount of money that we've been, you know, stealing from you for years, and so therefore, since you won't pay, we're just going to take the most valuable thing in your life, you know, besides your kids or whatever, we're going to take your house from you, sell it at an auction.
The IRS is notorious for auctioning people's, not just the house, but the contents in the house as well.
Yeah, no, you don't get anything for that, I don't think, out of this process. It's just whatever the house goes for, then they're supposed to give, in most places, they're supposed to give the previous owner whatever the remainder is.
That's
after.
That's right, and Chief Justice Roberts said she should have been given a minimum of $25,000 that could have enabled this lady to make payments towards getting her home back and living somewhere.
Well, it would have helped her, I'm sure, to get the $25,000. But the interesting thing here, and Gigi, thanks for bringing this up here. I appreciate you calling in about this
tonight.
Well,
I learned about it from this program many months ago.
This story?
Yes, sir. Oh. One evening, I was listening to the program, and it was being reviewed and discussed on this show.
Interesting. I must not have been on that.
So when I heard about the verdict today, I remembered, hey,
oh, good.
I first first learned about this on Free Talk Live.
Thank you for the follow-up, because we never probably would have heard about it if it weren't for your call.
Well, I pay attention, and I'm a news junkie.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're out there, Gigi, and thank you for calling in tonight with that story. So the important thing to know here is this hasn't overturned property taxes. This isn't the Supreme Court saying property taxes are wrong or illegal or anything like that. No, they are totally fine with property taxes. They're just saying that apparently in the states, including Minnesota, and there's more than one place where this happens. They don't give a list in the Reuters story, but Minnesota is not the only place in which there is a system like this, where they essentially punish you for not paying taxes by just keeping all of the money the tax sale. Mm-hmm.
Now, Massachusetts
you went through
does
this.
That also.
Yeah, I was going to say, you actually went through this yourself.
Yes.
Jay,
yep.
More than, a decade ago or something?
2010?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
11?
Something like that. It sounds about right. Where you hadn't paid taxes on a property that you owned in Palmer, Mass.
Yeah, I had it for right about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And what did they claim in your case? How much did they claim you owed them?
So they claimed that I owed them $136,000 for not paying property tax on a house that I bought for $79,000,
mm-hmm.
you know, for, I think it was 10 years. And when they came after me, I demanded a jury trial. And they're like, no, you don't get a jury trial. You waive your right to a jury trial.
What?
And I says, no, I have not waived my right anywhere. You know, how does the state become the arbiter of whether or not I waive my rights? So the government is you know, instituted to protect my rights. And that's when I started learning we don't have governments anymore. We have municipal corporations calling themselves governmental agencies.
Mm.
Anyways, in Massachusetts, there is absolutely no way you can get a jury trial for a property tax taking.
Wow.
And so I've been asking this question in New Hampshire, and they're like, I'm like, so like I asked tax town clerk, I said, so when someone takes their property and they're like, no, you can't take my property. I go, do you guys go like get a jury trial? She goes, no, we just get a summary something judgment or something, she says, and mm-hmm. They do what's called a tax lien taking or a tax title taking or something.
Yep.
And essentially it's like, they're like, yeah, there's no jury trial for this. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's
usually up to the city council or whatever.
It just goes to show that, you know, that you don't have any rights and you're basically a slave.
Yep. Sure.
And it's very clear. And, you know, so like, you know, cause one of the, you know, fundamentals of American, you know, are this Republic that, you know, the founding fathers created, that we all own our land and it's ours. But the problem is, you know, sometime in 1939, all the private properties got put on the tax rolls because in 1932, the government went bankrupt at the Geneva Convention. FDR filed bankruptcy on behalf of the United States Corporation, and all of these municipal corporations calling themselves City of Keene, Town of Henniker, whatever, all essentially became tax collection, you know, became debt collectors to pay off this bankruptcy debt. And all these properties got some kind of lien on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went down this rabbit hole pretty hardcore in Hampden County, Massachusetts. Every single property in a little village of Thorndike, Massachusetts, and a little village of Bonsville, Massachusetts. Bonsville is where my house was, where you guys came down to that day a decade ago.
I remember.
Every single piece of property for 2 days in 1939 in the archives going down in the basement of the deed hall, we researched a bunch of this, was owned by, it was called Bonsville Realty Company. And then in where my dad's farm was, that was Thorndike. That property was owned for 2 days. A grantor deed was granted to Joseph Fury Esquire, who was a lawyer, who had a law firm in town that day. He was also had something to do with Bonsville Realty Corporation, which mm-hmm. Bonsville Realty Corporation was granted the deed to my house. And then 2 days later, there was a deed from the Bonsville Realty Corporation to something O'Connor was the guy's name, the same owner, back to it. And so I started looking, and they got these indexes. So I looked up Joseph A. Fury Esquire. I remember this. I was like, wow, this guy owned every single property in town for 2 days.
That's suspicious.
How did that happen? This was 1939.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the guy doing the research with me was this old Mexican dude, really cool guy. He was really into history and research. He worked for the county, and he worked in that archives department.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, wow, this is amazing. Well, how could this happen? You know, how could the same...
And he There's no way he could be that wealthy. No way that one guy could just come in there and buy everything up.
Right. So so this particular thing on my dad's farm, that was Joseph Fury Esquire, got granted the property for 2 days in 1939. And then it was granted back. I said to the, I bring it upstairs, you know, a copy of it. And I go, hey, what's this document? How did this happen? And they go, oh, that's a mortgage. They said, yeah, that's a lien on a property. I'm like, oh, okay. They probably got some kind of mortgage. I'm like, all right, let's find a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find the lien. And so the lady's like, oh, no problem. We'll do that. And well, we really can't find this lien, this mortgage. And there's really no mortgage reference. It just went from, there's elements missing. So I set up a date with the actual registrar of deeds. His name was Ash. I can't remember his. Ash is like a Western Mass crime family. Like his cousin or brother is the sheriff, and they're all politically connected. Mm-hmm. And they all
good old boys.
Yeah, and they're accused about running drugs with the state police and the whole nine yards. And towing and wrecking companies that help the cops out. I mean, it's just, you know, everywhere, like where you grow up, you just learn who all the criminals are, you know,
sure.
and it's just, anyways, the Ash family, you know, the one guy runs the jail, the other guy runs the deed hall.
Yep.
And Donald J. Ash is the guy's name. I'm supposed to have a meeting with him. So I go to have the meeting and they're like, oh no, you don't have a meeting. He's out of the office today. And I'm like, oh, can we schedule a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I'm like, when's he next available? And they're like, we'll call you when he's available. I go, you probably have an opening, right? Can we just schedule a meeting? And then I have two. Now, this is in, like, the fourth floor of the courthouse,
yep.
You know, where we're like, that deeds hall thing is, and, you know, Superior Court and whatever courts are downstairs, Springfield, Mass, the courthouse there. And so all of a sudden, like, I'm talking to this lady, and she's kind of like, and then I hear, excuse me, Mr. Noon? And I'm like, oh, cool. Ash is here. I'm going to have a talk with him, right? And mm-hmm. It's two sheriff's deputies, and they're asking me to leave the building.
Whoa.
And
that was the end of that lead, huh?
So I went down. So as I'm walking downstairs with the guys, I'm telling them what's happening. And they're like, yeah, right. I'm like, I got it right here. Why don't you go see what this is about? You know, because uh-huh. I had it, because the week before I was in there, I had this certified copy of all this stuff. And I go, why don't you go talk to the Mexican guy downstairs? I forget his name. He was a great guy.
Hmm.
He'll tell you all about it. And, you know, they all know each other. They all work in the building. And and then I went in there another time with my friend Gene. And, you know, about 2 months later to kind of work on this and talk about it. And I go up to the desk and I'm like, hey, can I get a meeting with, someone that can explain, you know, because they actually have these archives, like, somewhere where you can go view them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the original real archives, because the books you're flipping through are, like, books that were made, like, back in the 60s.
Okay.
Or in the 40s, and your real documents are somewhere else.
They're copies, okay.
Yep. And as soon as I start telling the lady what I'm looking for and I show it to her, she goes, oh, we've been through this before, she says. And I go, no, I haven't.
Who's we?
Yeah, right, that's what she said to me. I'm like, no, I haven't been able to see the original archives. And so I just never really pursued it anymore. I'm like, heck with Massachusetts. I'm planning on going to New Hampshire someday anyways.
This was after you lost your house, was when you were digging into this, right?
It was as the court case was going on, uh-huh. as I was fighting for it, as I was, all this stuff. So there is no way to get a jury trial in a tax taking in Massachusetts mm-hmm. is basically what I found out. So this whole, like, you can't take property without judgment of peers stuff of the Constitution, obviously the Constitution doesn't apply, you know, you don't have a constitutional form of government, is basically the
bottom line. It's just ruled by men. It's completely arbitrary rule by men. They do whatever it is they want to do, and every now and then you can call them on it, and every now and then a court will rule in a way that, in this case, this lady who's now 94, amazingly, she's still alive after having gone all the way up through the Supreme Court. Maybe she's going to walk away with a $25,000 check after all is said and done. But
I hope she's awarded some punitive damages.
I don't know. I think she'd probably have to countersue for that, right? Because the Supreme Court can't just come down and say, give this lady $12 million. Dollars.
Now that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And just imagine what it took to get there.
That's what I'm saying. How many years has this been going on?
So now she has to appeal in the local court, and then she has to appeal it maybe in the state court, in the state appeals court, and then she appeals it to the Supreme Court of that state, and then you appeal it to the federal you know, I don't know if you go straight to appeals court, but basically it was like you had to do like
2016. So yeah, this was, okay, it was 2016 was when the house was, yep, sold at auction. So almost, not quite a decade ago, but most of, yep, a decade ago. And according to the story here, it's 13 other states had this policy, which just lets the government sell a house that's quote unquote in arrears for taxes, yep, and keep the entirety of the proceeds, mm-hmm, for their own benefit.
Yep.
So that's what's been overturned here in a 9-0 decision.
And, by, you know, who I blame for the you know, the suffering of this old woman and other people? I believe all the parasites that work in government. I, you know, all,
sure,
and even the people, care, that are sending their kids to public schools, you are engaging in acts of literally violence against threats of violence anyways against taxpayers. In fact, I had armed men, like literally like a SWAT team showed up at my house to remove me from my house. Yeah. And, you know,
what, 6 a.m.?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was a little before 6.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up to, you know, like the entire Palmer police force and a bunch of state cops and a couple of, you know, it,
wow,
was, you know. And they're like, ah, you got to get out of there. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back upstairs and get some clothes on. And they're like, we brought a U-Haul truck for you. And
really?
Yeah, they brought a U-Haul truck.
They actually let you take your stuff out of the house?
They had a whole moving crew.
Whoa.
They're like, Jay, just tell these guys, you know, what to do, what to box up. And they're like, and,
where'd you take it?
I brought it up to the farm.
Wow.
You know, I just,
wow,
put it all into a trailer at the farm. But that's, they were
crazy,
like,
I'm surprised they even did that.
And like every cop that I knew like couldn't look me in the eye.
Oh,
they're,
wow,
like, dude, I'm really sorry this happened to you. And you know, they're like, and like because a lot of the cops actually like had earned my respect and liked me because first, mm-hmm, off, I was a firefighter.
Right.
So you know, I was on that fire department for like just like a few weeks shy of 20 years.
Right. And wasn't that right across the street? Like not.
Yeah.
Far
and that
down
was one
road?
Thing. That's actually the reason I really bought the house is because it was literally like a 100-yard dash to a, yeah, fire station. I was really into the fire station, mm-hmm, back then and doing that stuff. And the fire department was a lot of fun. And you know, but the thing is just, yeah, there's like, just no jury trial. They just take,
nope,
it.
They just take the house, take, yep, it down to a tax sale, sold it to some private dude, as, yep, I recall. And, yep, and then, of course, you said the house was worth less, than probably what they got.
So they wanted like $136,000, and I think the house sold for like $19,000. But what was really hilarious about that, so you guys came down, and you got arrested down there,
I did, yeah,
at the auction, because when they were viewing the house, there was, you know, it was like you, it was, you guys
Pete
came
was
down
there
several times.
Yeah.
Pete Air, I believe.
From copblock.org.
I think even Adamo was down once. I know, like, I got a picture of me, you, and Mark Edge out in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, they only sold that thing for $19,000.
That's all it brought. Because, well, I'm like, hey, you're buying stolen property. Like, as people are walking in to look at the house, I'm like, this is stolen property.
Nice.
You know, and I'm just out there to the sidewalk telling people it's stolen property. And I remember the Pete Air did a really, Pete and Adamo put together a nice little video of that, like, whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into town hall. You're recording the auctioneer or the guy from the auction company, and he just looked like this slimy Boston politician.
Right.
And I don't think you call him slimy, but he just looked like a guy that like you didn't want to ride in an elevator with because he's going to hell, you know, and you don't want to be caught with him when he goes there, like a lobbyist, you know, corporate lobbyist.
Right.
But and then you go videotape in town hall, and they just pulled some signs out of the printer and just taped them up on,
yeah,
the glass door. No video recording in town hall. And you walk right in there and you're just recording and Pete's recording.
Yeah.
And
smashed me up.
Yeah. Pete asked one of the fat cops in town, this guy Ray Tenzar.
Yeah, he's the one that arrested
me.
Yeah.
He's such a D-bag. I hope you're listening, Ray. Piece of turd. Anyways,
I ended up getting a check out of all that.
Yeah,
by the way.
So he arrests you, but like, so he was a guy, this video is so hilarious, I'm just like cracking up thinking about it. You're like, you said something about, and hey, you guys have the exclusive monopoly on violence in town. How does it feel to be a gangster? And like, he just couldn't help himself but smile a poopy,
right,
and grin ear to ear.
Yeah.
He's such a psychopath.
He knew it was,
you know,
true,
how many,
yeah,
girls like, you know, like,
oh,
you know, complained,
creeper,
about him and all the crazy stuff with that guy.
I can't,
and so, but anyway, and he was, you know, he was just an example of a liability to the town of Palmer because, mm-hmm, you get charged with some stupid disorderly conduct charge, right. Two of them. I don't remember what they are. But you literally said to the to Judge Poehler, Patricia Poehler, at the courthouse, you're like, you know, I'll pay your $50 fine if you allow me to donate to a local charity. Like, how about the Palmer Food Bank? I would like to write them a check right now, is pretty much what you said. And they're like, no.
Nope.
So the next court hearing, they're like, here, Ian, here's a check for $5,000. Please don't sue us.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. Thanks to the ACLU of Massachusetts for taking that.
Yeah,
case.
That was great.
Let's go to the phones here. Major Payne's on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Well, I got something on the cash and plastic debacle there, but I also got to give you some quick breaking news. Okay. The leader of the Proud Boys got the most serious sentence of the January 6th, what I used to call wheelchair or walker rebellion.
I heard 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years, dude.
There's got to be a presidential candidate who's got to step up and be like, I will pardon all these guys. I mean,
I think Trump's been hinting at it. I'm not sure if he's come right out and said it. But
just say it.
Wait
man.
A minute. Just to clarify, you said, did you say the Proud Boys or Oath Keepers? Because the guy was from Oath Keepers.
I had that one. I was bouncing that marble around between my ears, and I couldn't remember which one. So thank you.
Yeah, 18 years.
I heard that on NPR today, and NPR is such garbage. You know, the way they were going out about how he was, like, you know, terrorizing Congress and, you know, all this stuff. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know the guy personally, but I know, you know, we've met some Oath Keeper types over the years, and they seem to be genuine former government people who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they say to themselves that meant something to them, and so...
Evidently was a former paratrooper and whatnot.
Yeah, they want to hold the government accountable through whatever legal means, and... I don't think this guy was accused of anything violent, right? Like, what were they saying he did?
It's basically all conspiring.
Yeah.
He's the leader.
Typical.
So, Oath Keepers. I don't know if you've dealt with any Oath Keepers.
Chris Reedman used to be an Oath Keeper.
Yep. So there's this other guy, Dave Kopasz. He has a YouTube show he does called Red Pill Politics. And he was in the Oath Keepers. And we had in tornado in 2011, we had a tornado come through Palmer, Brimfield, and Munson, Mass. Just destroyed a bunch of stuff. So Dave, being an Oath Keeper, basically activated the Oath Keeper network. And guys showed up from, like, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maine, like, pickup trucks and chainsaws, and just started cutting trees out of people's driveways. And they're like, oh, people like, you from FEMA? And we're like, and the guy's like, no, we're from Oath Keepers. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. We'd rather have you here than FEMA anyways. And everybody was so happy that, like, there's a bunch of, like, guys helping out.
Major, hang on. I know you said you had comments on the cash card situation. We'll continue with that discussion here. And the phones are open, as always, if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. It's Ian and Jay here. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The White House and House Republicans are having productive discussions to raise the debt ceiling as a possible default could happen in early June.
You've heard all the congressional leaders make it clear that default is not an option. The president has said that, the speaker has said that, and we want the American people to understand that as well.
That's what Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters. Democrats, meanwhile, are criticizing McCarthy and Republicans for sending members home for Memorial Day weekend before securing a deal to avert
the default. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he'd consider pardoning January 6th defendants and former President Trump if he's elected president.
I'm going to do on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization or political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. The phones are open and you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. Jay here tonight. That's 603-283-6160. We've got a story that we started the show out with tonight talking about people that are sick and tired of this press towards more electronic payments. They want to reassert the fact that cash is a good thing, that it, you know, protects your privacy. It's still, of course, a bad thing in the fact that it is, allows you to be victimized by inflation, but that's another story. I still think what they're doing is of some value, and we can talk more about that coming up here. In fact, I know Major Payne said he had something to say about it. But also I want to let you know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash. And Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. They've kept to that vision from the beginning of Dash, which was some time ago. Dash is actually one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's almost been around for a decade now. And it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. Dash can be used for less than 1 cent per transaction as far as the fee, because anytime you spend cryptocurrency, there's always a network fee that they want to hit you with. You spend Bitcoin, you're looking at like $2. Median fee right now is what the Bitcoin fees are. It's crazy expensive.
I got a transaction right now on my phone that is 13 days old. It's $75.
A Bitcoin transaction.
Yeah.
It hasn't confirmed in 13 days. Wow. So there's serious problems with Bitcoin as a network being used for payments, but Dash doesn't have that problem. In fact, they've got some really cool features that ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great great for merchants. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. And coming up on Saturday night, we're actually going to have one of the Dash people on the show to talk about, well, what happened this week. There was some interesting news with Dash. There was a technical problem for like the first time in a decade, basically, on Monday. So he'll give us kind of some background on that. And he actually really wants to talk about how to transition away completely from the banking system, how to basically put banks out of business. So I'm really interested in having that discussion. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be Saturday night, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern Time or shortly thereafter. Here on Free Talk Live, let's bring Major Payne back on the line in Michigan. Major, you had something you wanted to say about this whole cash movement and or the digital payments.
Well, not so much the digital payments. I guess they would be inclusive as far as that's part of the plastic empire. But this whole plastic thing is part of the dumbing down of America. It's a process that's been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching it like a fish can't get out of the bowl to attack the fly he wants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But most people live paycheck to paycheck, better than 50% of the population of this country.
That's correct.
You know? And so once you get into that credit card debacle, especially if you can't, you know, you violate their original code and go from 7% to 27% or whatever, you know, you're just a cow they ain't got to feed that they get the milk every day.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a huge problem with debt in this country, and the credit cards, you know, that's probably one of the number one issues that people have. They don't know if they have them. They don't really know how to use them responsibly, and that's what they count on. They count on people being irresponsible and then being able to, as you say, milk them for the rest of their lives for those interest payments.
Well, when I was a very young warthog, like 6, 8 years old, I got a very rude reckoning on what the system can do to you.
Hmm.
I had been scrounging pop bottles for a whole summer, okay? And finally had enough to fill up my little red wagon. So I drug it over to the corner store there called the Big Top. Cheap, just like a circus tent.
Okay.
It was a cool place. But anyway, so it was 2 cents a bottle, right? The very next day, it went to a nickel.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Talk about a little kid feeling screwed. I think I got like $2.85, which
damn,
next day would have been a $10
bill.
Could
have been, yeah. Bummer.
I used to collect cans all the time. We would go to horse auctions when I was a little kid, and I would take a piece of baling twine, and I would take the top of the can and just kind of bend it up like a 90 degree,
mm-hmm,
and I would take the baling twine. It was just, you know, plastic twine or sisal twine, and I would just keep on putting cans through this baling twine and just drag them around, and then I would, you know, throw them in the gooseneck of a horse trailer. And I can remember having, like, just huge pile of cans and getting, like, you know, $100 for it, you know, and, like, filled up a trailer, you know, after, like, you know, several months of this. And, I did a lot of that as a kid.
Major, anything else you want to share?
The whole paper thing, it teaches you responsibility. And when you got to crack that last $100 bill in your wallet, it actually gives you physical pain.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel when you hand over that piece of plastic.
Yeah, and that kind of comes back to what I was saying the guy from Goldback was pointing out about younger people these days who've never paid in cash. They've never had the experience of having to crack that last 100 or 20 or whatever it is that, you know, never seen their money emptying out of their wallet. They've never felt the experience of actually exchanging something to receive goods back. They don't have that experience, and I think that's what the system promoters, the World Economic Forum, the big governments, the central banks, they're counting on that. They're counting on young people having zero experience with cash so that once older folks pass away, they're going to be able to pull cash out of the economy,
and
I think.
And the best thing I like about cash is the responsibility aspect of it. You lose that cash, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone steals it from you, it's gone. If you, you know, but the credit card or the debit card, you drop that thing, you lose that. You know, you just go ask your mother for another one when you're a young kid. And that's another thing I've noticed is, you know, I've definitely have had parents that have teenagers who be like, oh, Jimmy lost his debit card again. And I've had to get him like six of them, you know, in the past year. And it's like, well, I'm like, why don't you make that man make him a responsible, right. Make that boy responsible so he grows up to be a responsible man and give him cash. And if he loses his cash, then he lost his cash. Yeah. This is, you know, and that's the other thing too.
It's like these parents buying their kids a car and then they crash it and then they go and buy him another one.
The insurance buys him another one. Yeah.
Major?
Yeah, well, we're right back to the dumbing down of America.
Yep.
My opening statement.
Thank you for the call tonight, Major. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Perry in California. Perry, you're on Free Talk Live at the N&J.
Thank you very much. What I wanted to say is, first of all, the lady was 95, you said, right?
94 now. She was probably 86 at the time she had her house stolen.
In my opinion, it doesn't matter what age she is. I think that the people that were involved in kicking her out of her home should be in jail. And the thing is, you see,
problem is they run the jail.
Our whole system. Well, that's it. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. That the FBI, the CIA, all these the higher echelon, they should be in jail. This whole thing, we have tyranny now. It's been going on for many years, but we're now. I mean, we got strong tyranny now in America. It's. You can't even make this stuff up, but it's like everything's backwards, and we're allowing this to happen right before our own eyes.
Yeah,
look at the riots. So look at that. Now this guy that's 18 years. They're gonna give him 18 years. You said right?
Oh yeah, Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers, 18 year sentence.
But meanwhile, none of Ghislaine Maxwell's clients have been indicted or investigated. There was just a whole report I listened to a few days ago about how the FBI, as soon as Pete O'Biden came in, they just dumped the entire Clinton investigation. They destroyed all the evidence. You know, I guess they were doing some investigation on the Clintons, and then investigation on Hunter Biden was working on. Of and I guess this just all came about recent few days.
Yeah. Well, you see, in my opinion, they didn't even go after all the rioters that were literally killing cops and burning down buildings and car lots and everything else. They were destroying cities like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, you're talking about in Minneapolis where people were burning buildings down in 2020?
They did it all over the country. And the thing is, they were leaning toward the left, but they wanted everything free. You know, they said they should have all welfare, food stamps. Like, they're going to do all these 25 million aliens that are coming in through the border, that Biden's allowing in.
Biden's not allowing people in the border. Well, he's cracking down just like Donald Trump did. He's basically a continuation of it. I mean, that's just basically conservative talking points that you're sharing there. But your point about the riots.
Well, the last thing that what he's doing, what they're going to do is, they've lost some Democrats even because they're waking up to what's going on about big government. And the thing is that they're going to have those people, because 40 states are going to give them driver licenses. They're going to let them vote. See, Democrat. Because they're going to all.
Here's the thing. This is the problem where the right wingers get it wrong.
Well,
Perry. The problem with what the right wingers get wrong here, as far as immigration is concerned, a lot of those immigrants are conservatives. A lot of people from Mexico are culturally conservative people. They're Catholics. They've got family values. That whole thing.
I'm with you. I would allow people to come in like we were doing a million a year, but they're allowing now people that are terrorists. They've already caught terrorists. They've already caught gang members. They've already caught murderers. They've already caught.
That's just fear mongering, man.
This is
just
fear mongering. No, this is not the way to do this. This is not the way to do.
No, not to do things is to have a police state, and that's what you're advocating for. You're advocating for a police state. On one hand, hold on now, Perry. On one hand, you can see how the police are doing the wrong thing when it comes to what's happening to Stuart Rhodes and the people on January 6th, but yet you want those very same cops to crack down on what is mostly peaceful people who are trying to come here to make a better life for themselves.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying you want to still give them welfare and
no,
cell phones
that shouldn't
and cars
exist.
No,
I'm against welfare.
All of health and human services needs to be axed.
That's the libertarian point of view. I agree with you to a great extent on what you're saying on that. But the thing is, what I'm worried about is by letting all the people that they are letting in criminals, okay? The thing is, we've already got them.
They are the criminals, dude. The people at the border, those are the criminals. The people who are in the Border Patrol uniforms, those are the criminals.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who are stripping away your right to travel. They're the ones stripping away your ability to leave if you want to leave, or come back if you want to come back, without having to jump through a bunch of hoops and prove your quote-unquote citizenship to some unaccountable bureaucrats who, if they want to strip you down, strip down your car, do whatever they want to do, there's not going to be any kind of accountability for them for doing that. You're fine with that, right?
So what do you want to do with fentanyl, by the way? I just want
to, with what?
While
fentanyl?
I'm thinking about this.
I want to make it legal.
They're bringing in tons of it.
I want to decriminalize. I want fentanyl to be regulated just like tomatoes, because it will eliminate that whole black market for the fentanyl. And right now, who's bringing in all the fentanyl? Well, according to Mike Gill, it's the governments that are bringing in the fentanyl. And so we know from, like, you know, Silver Dave, a former special forces who was over in Afghanistan, all the heroin that was, most of the heroin that was leaving Afghanistan was basically leaving Afghanistan via military DEA being pumped into Europe, being pumped into the States. I mean, there was a time in this country where, you know, like in any major city, you could get heroin cheaper than you could get a joint, basically. And the heroin was also easier for a 15-year-old to come up with than an actual Budweiser. And because it was just surged so high. And you'll see where the U.S., when they bring on their occupation of Afghanistan, you can just internet search this, Afghanistan heroin U.S. import or export or something, keywords. And you'll see, like, as soon as the United States starts occupying Afghanistan, the heroin production in Afghanistan goes insane. Because when the particular gang that was occupying Afghanistan, the Taliban or whoever they are, and, they would cut people's, you know, hands off if they were growing or participating in an opium.
But they're saying that 100,000 people a year are dying from fentanyl.
Yeah,
and blame the war on drugs for that, by the way, because fentanyl was never a thing 20 years ago,
right,
Perry? You asked the question about fentanyl, and I would like to answer the question. Jay had a crack at it, and I want to remind you that the reason why fentanyl exists, the reason why crack cocaine exists, is because of the war on drugs, because the war on drugs prohibits all kinds of drugs, right, like cocaine or heroin.
I help get the party on the ballot in California. I know about the Libertarian Party. Believe me.
So then you understand that the war on drugs leads to people using harder drugs, right? You understand, Perry, hold on. You can't listen if you're talking, okay? So you understand what you're saying is you understand that the war on drugs, drug prohibition, just like alcohol prohibition, led to stronger, harder forms of, more concentrated forms of those drugs, and led to drugs being cut with things like fentanyl. You understand that, right?
Well, I don't necessarily know if that's 100%.
I thought you said you spent time with the libertarians and you understood the libertarian viewpoint on the war on drugs.
No, I mean, I understand that they wanted open borders at one time, and then they wanted...
Oh, so you don't know anything about prohibition, drug prohibition?
Yes, I do know a little bit. I know that we've always had it illegal and
it wasn't always.
Not always.
100 years ago, heroin was not illegal.
No, you're right. Yeah, no, that's true. I'm not talking about that far back. But anyhow,
well, we are talking about that far back, because that far back, you didn't have a problem with fentanyl, crack cocaine didn't exist. These things came about because
cocaine existed, but not crack.
Correct. It was crack that was developed in the same way that...
By the CIA, allegedly.
It was developed in the same way that hard liquor became very popular during alcohol prohibition, because when you prohibit things, they go into the black market, they become more dangerous because you only have so much space to smuggle, so you want to get the harder stuff in that smuggling space, right? And so you make harder drugs as a result of that. So if you want to get rid of fentanyl, here's what you do. Here's what you do, Perry.
You know,
all you do is you legalize heroin, you legalize cocaine, you legalize all the things that are currently illegal, and you allow the marketplace to handle these things. Safety will increase dramatically. You will never see drugs being cut with something. If you go down to Walmart or Walgreens or whatever, and you buy a bottle of aspirin, there's not like dope in the bottle of aspirin. You get exactly what it is you are expecting to buy. So that's how you get rid of fentanyl. And in fact, Dana a gentleman we had on the show on Friday night last week from Vancouver. He's an activist up there who does absolutely amazing work. He had pointed out that in the marketplace, when you actually have legal products, they actually move towards not the harder use of those products, but the lighter use of those products. We've seen it with cannabis, for instance. So when cannabis was legalized, there became all these like much more harm reduction kind of ways to use cannabis. There's the edibles now. Instead of having to smoke the cannabis, you can just take a dose of it. And you can take a light dose if you want to. Yeah. And there's now, you know, teas and sodas and things like that to allow you to take these things.
I'm for all that anyways. Okay. You know,
so you're for drug legalization.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say you got a drug addict, right? And there isn't anything that society can do to help this person, okay? Let's just say, I'm just showing you a scenario. And then let's say that person gets so whacked out, he decides to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, okay?
Okay.
I'm for that, believe it or not. If that guy wants to jump off, I don't think anybody should try to stop him. I believe in individual liberty so long as no one violates
the law. All right, so you're for legalizing suicide then?
Well, what I worry about is, like, with fentanyl, somebody taking it and, let's say, putting it in a drink at a college or somewhere, at a bar near a college or something, and it kills somebody, and they didn't even know it was in their drink, you know what I mean, I shouldn't worry about stuff like that, you're right. But I am for, I do agree with your assessment, believe me, I do. I do agree.
So you agree that we should end the war on drugs.
I'm hearing so much lately about there's so many people dying from these fentanyl. It's not like heroin. It's not like all this other stuff out there. You know what I mean? It seems like it's a lot stronger. It's killing. It's just killing. You know, one pill can kill you. That's it. That's what they're saying.
Sure.
And I got two things to comment on here. So you said that you're concerned about someone wanting to basically murder somebody with fentanyl by dropping fentanyl into their drink.
Well, I'm not saying that'll happen. I'm saying it could happen.
I just want to tell you something. If somebody really wanted to do that, there is a product that they could go buy. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not going to say where you can go get it. But they could go get it tomorrow at 7 a.m. in the morning right here in Keene, and they could take a half ounce of this product, and they could drop it in a particular beverage. And that guy could drink that particular beverage, not even taste it, not even know what happened, and he will die an agonizing, painful death. Hmm. And this particular product that you could buy at a store, a gallon of it costs $20, and, you know, a half ounce of it will kill you. And I'm not going to say what it is on the air because, you know, I don't want to give any ideas. But and then the other thing I want to make is, how do you help drug dealers? Well, if we look at the Kensington Street, Philadelphia videos where these people are walking around, it looks like a clip from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you help those people? How are those people getting drugs? They have an EBT card, electronic benefits transfer, provided to them by the Pennsylvania Department of Health and Human Services,
mm-hmm.
along and also subsidized by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. If those EBT cards did not work anymore, those people would not be able to just spend their several hundred dollars a month that they get on whatever, on their drug of choice. They would be done. Maybe they'll find a way. But if you're that
whacked out, they'll start robbing, they'll start stealing, whatever they got to do.
You see the condition of these guys? They couldn't rob anybody, right? If they walked up to me or you, we could just break them in half. I mean, literally.
Push them over.
And the thing is, and then that's why you shouldn't be anywhere near Philadelphia or Kensington, because when the system collapses and all the crackheads can't get their money and the heroin addicts and the dopers, because all the people that in Manchester, you know, that are using all the drugs and the drug encampments there, so there's definitely some homeless people, and then you got some straight up drug addicts that are just, you know, they're made comfortable enough by all the offerings of health and human services.
Right.
So you see these like Venice Beach videos where they go interview the guy who's like tattooed from head to toe, and he's just like, yeah, man, I get $600 a month. I get wake up in the morning, get out of my tank, go get high, go over there, and they feed me. Mm-hmm. The city got three meals for us a day right out there. California is great, man. I used to live in, you know, some cold city.
Yeah, you got to change the incentives. Yep. That's definitely true.
That's how you stop drugs. You stop giving money to people to buy them.
But as long as drugs are illegal, you're still going to have serious
problems.
And
you have to make them, you have to remove the prohibitions, and you have to stop with the welfare.
Right. That's it.
Health and Human Services is murdering people. Everybody that dies from fentanyl that is on welfare was killed by the state.
Go ahead, Perry.
You know, you're absolutely right about a lot of what you're saying. I'm not going to disagree with you on all of this stuff. But I just, like I said, I do feel sorry for people that do die from these sort of substances.
It's a tragedy. It's a personal tragedy. But it's not going to help those people to put them in a jail cell, right? That's not going to get them a better life.
Hey, by the way, can you play a bumper song by him, H.I.M.,
no.
Don't Feel the Reaper?
No, it's a great song, though, but no, we can't take bumper requests on this show. By the way, as far as, like, poisoning drinks and stuff, GHB used to be the drug for that. That's something that is also an illegal drug. They used to call it the date rape drug, and that is a concern that people have. But the fact is, GHB is illegal as well, but yet the people that want to do date raping can still get their GHB and put it into people's drinks.
Is that what a roofie is, GHB?
Oh, is that the same thing?
There is a product that I saw on Shark Tank where this young lady invented this little cap type thing that's it stretches, and you can put it on a, like, if you're out like these college students and stuff like that, you can put it over your cup, and it can keep people from putting anything in your cup. And,
or just don't drink anymore at a public facility.
Well, one of the sharp, it fits around your wrist like a bracelet. But anyhow.
Or just keep your drink with you and, don't leave it alone.
One of the sharks invested, I don't know, it was $100,000 or whatever it was, in with this person. So it's the product's out there.
All right. Hey, thanks, Perry, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number, if you want to join the show, 603-283-6160. Always interesting to talk about immigration. It's just such an issue that gets people emotional, and they just don't understand.
Yeah, I wonder how many like actual immigrants he worked with. When I was in Colorado, I used to be a little more like him until I worked with the guys in Colorado, and those guys that were like these undocumented, illegally here, whatever, they were really like the best people I worked with out there. They were good family men, and they had good morals, and they had good structures. They're the kind of people I want as my neighbor, and they're a good foundation for society.
We got more coming up here, 603-283-6160. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.